Madagai Gimbai, Biribi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, I'm Heidi. Welcome to King's Kids. If you want a closer relationship with God, listen to what Tony is talking about today. Lots of people go to church but don't really know God. It could be that you've never really sought out God for a closer relationship, or perhaps you didn't realise that you could actually know God personally. Here's Tony to tell us more.
Are you fair dinkum with God, or are you just dating God on Sundays? Are you going on a date with God every Sunday for about 2 hours, and then, you know, you ignore God for the rest of the week and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to date you again on Sunday. I'm going to see you in church. And you think it's finished because you spent 2 hours with God in church? God is coming back for his bride. So what does that tell this old black fella? He's coming back for his bride? Then you got to get ready. So are you willing to marry God? Are you be ready to commit it to a relationship with God? That's what it says to me. Do you want a relationship with God? Are you prepared to enter into marriage with God? Or do you just want to keep dating him on Sundays? If you're only dating him on Sundays, then you can't really expect God to turn up and do much for you, because you're not in a relationship.
Saturday night at Plainville, lots of local people go to the downtown corner movie for a late night picture show. And it's 90 mindless minutes of the best in blood and gore. They all come out laughing, just can't wait for more. All on the other side of town, a child 4 years of age huddles helpless in defense against his father's rage. And as we spend our time and money on life's moments, cheapest thrills, in our city there's an Elm Street where the nightmare is real. Oh God, have mercy on us, please, for the times that you've shown the need and we refuse to see. Give us all a heart like yours that grieves for the lost souls on Elm Street. Complacency's a poison, taking one drop at a time. Fools our minds and thinking that everything's just fine. Desensitize our spirit with nothing left to feel, till we never hurt for Elm Street where the nightmare is real. Oh Lord, you've got to send me where it is I need to go. Put me on this dream road, 'cause they all need to know there's a God who's so much bigger than anything they're going through. Oh, they need to know that there's a place where nightmares don't come true. Oh, God, have mercy on us, please, for the times that you've shown the need and we refuse to see. Give us all a heart like yours that grieves for the lost souls on Elm Street who need to be. A heart like yours that grieves for the lost souls on Elm Street who need to be released.
today we've been talking about, are you feeding with God? Are you dating God? Are you interested in a relationship with God? Or are you getting ready to be the bride of Christ when he comes back? When I first got out of prison, I was asked to preach in this little church that I was going to. And it was the first time that I was ever going to preach outside of prison. I mean, I was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Because one of the elders, he sat right in the front row. He had notepad, he had pens, he had markers, he had everything. He had a recorder. He actually had a recorder. He was going to record everything. And then he was going to take it to the church board and everything else. And, you know, we're letting this black fella from jail preach in our church. It was a Sunday night service because it was aimed at the unsaved and the youth. And me being an evangelist, it was perfect for me to be. And there was another elder showed up. And I remember going up to the other elder and I said to him, would you like to open in prayer before I preach? Well, he got all flustered and yelled at me and he said, do you realize that I need 2 weeks' notice before I can open in prayer? You've got to give me two. You just can't come up to me on the spur of the moment to say, will you please open in prayer? Because he said, I need 2 weeks' notice. And I thought, well, this fellow wouldn't know God if he bit him on the leg. I didn't know much about him at the time. But anyway, I thought, okay, I'll do it myself. When in doubt, do it yourself. And this other elder sat in the front row and he looked at me and he looked at me and he said, when I was just about to start the preaching, he came up to intimidate me and he said, you know what? He said, I'm recording everything you say. You better be spot on. Anyway, I remember started preaching and I mentioned the Holy Spirit. I mentioned the Valley of Dry Bones. And then when I finished preaching, this guy came up to me. His wife was a lovely woman. He said to me in front of her, he said, this garbage that you was talking about tonight, there's been never so much more trouble in the church since this Holy Spirit business come into it. And I looked at this guy and I said, you're treading on very thin ice. And because I was only brand new in the church, I'd only just been out of prison, I'd only been there probably less than a month, I took on board what he'd said and I walked away from him. And then God spoke to me. And God said to me, Tony, you're going to have to go and explain it to him, what he said. And how dangerously close he's come. Because the Bible says, do not. God will forgive you of all sins. But he said, there's only one sin that you won't be forgiven of. And that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That frightened me. Because, you know, this man, in his ignorance, he's a church member, he's an elder. But what does an eldership mean in a church? Is it just a title? Or are we there because we love God? We want a position because we want to serve others? Or do we want to be like the Pharisees? We just want a title and have people, when you come in the church on Sunday, people look at you and say, well, he's an elder, he's an usher, he's a deacon. You know, they think automatically because they have that title that they're going to go straight into heaven. But I tell you what, I've got news for you and it's all bad. Unless you have a personal relationship with God, you're not going anywhere near heaven. In fact, you're going to the other place, you're going to hell. And so titles don't mean nothing to God. It's the condition of the heart. And the heart is, you've got to have a heart after God. That you want to be saved, you want to be born again. You know, this guy, I prayed about it. I'm an uneducated black fella. This guy, he had a degree. He was a school principal. He had everything going for him, education, everything. I remember that I went and knocked on his door. Anyway, his wife came to the door and I said, is your husband home? She said, yes, he is. I said, I'd like to see him. And I said, he said something the other night to me, and I said, and it really bothered me. And God's been convicting me, speaking to my heart, and telling me I needed to come here and sort this fella out. So we goes into the lounge room, and I said to him, you remember when you said to me last week that the church has never had so much trouble since the Holy Spirit came into it? And I said, I believe, I know you said that, but I believe in my heart that you didn't mean it the way you'd sounded. Because if you meant it the way it sounded, you just condemned yourself to hell because you blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And he opened his mouth to say something, and his wife turned around and said to him, you know what? You did say that. You might lament it, but you did say that. And she backed me up. When I sat down and explained that to him, that scripture that says, you know, all sins are forgiven. And the only one sin that's not forgiven is the one where you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You see, being a church member for 20 years, 30 years as an elder, it don't qualify you unless you know God. Being an elder doesn't mean you get a free pass. You've got to have a relationship with God. And, you know, this man had been in church for over 30 years, and he didn't know God. And he just wasn't a church member. He was an elder that ran the church, that made the decisions on how the church functions. And, you know, there was this other elder that said to me, I need 2 weeks' notice before I can open in prayer. You know what I found out later? That he was the chairperson of the local Greyhound Association. In fact, he came to church and gave out free tickets to the races for church members to go to the races. He knew he didn't need 2 weeks' notice to hand out race passes to go to the racetrack, but he did need 2 weeks' notice when he had to open in prayer. People in the church, they go to church every week. They have religion. They have a religion, a spirit of religiosity. They just are bound up. They have no idea who God is. They don't even apply God to every part of their lives. I remember that I went to another church, and when I got there, there was two ministers at this church. One was a senior minister, an elderly-looking chap. The other guy was a young charismatic. The difference between this church was one really knew who God was, and he was on fire to help others, to make people known to God and make God known to people. But the other one was just turning up every Sunday, just doing his own things because he had his own agenda. And you see, funny how, remember that I just told you that I was preached for the very first time in this little church out of prison. A woman was on holidays and she came into the church. She was looking for somewhere to fellowship and she brought her eldest daughter with her. And she came into the church and she heard me preach. And then at the end of it, she came up and said what a great sermon that was. And then she said to me, if I asked them at my church, can you come and preach, would you come? And I said, yes, of course I would. And this woman, just a parishioner, no titles, no nothing, heard the word of God, was moved and touched by it, went back to her church, and she prayed about it, and they allowed me to come and preach. She was a woman of faith. She wasn't a woman that was highly educated in God, and she didn't know a lot about God, but she was a woman of faith. She felt that God had spoken to her. She spoke to me, spoke to the church, and it happened. But you see, all things happen for a reason. Because this woman's oldest child had a very rare heart condition, and it needed for healing. And you see, God spoke to me before I went down there to preach at this church. My pastor said to me, he said, you know what? He said, a miracle's going to happen when you go down there to preach. He said, I believe God has showed me that you're going to pray for somebody and they're going to be healed of this condition. In fact, he said, I know God's put a call on your life and an anointing in your life. So he got together with my wife and a couple other church members, and he told them what God had told him, that I was going to pray for somebody with a certain condition and God was going to heal them. They wrote it down. They put it in a safety deposit box, what he believed God told him, and they locked it up until I came back from preaching. And they wanted to know, when I came back, did it actually happen? And you see, and I went to this church, and I'm telling you that this church was so bound up with religion. I mean, I spent nearly 4 hours praying at the location before I preached the next day because there were so many demonic spirits in this place. Because this was only a church, but they let their church all out for Freemasonry. And a lot of the elders in this church were Freemasons. If you know anything about Freemasonry and Christianity, they don't go hand in hand together. I went there, and I kid you not, demonic spirits were bouncing off the walls like golf balls. I mean, the place was running rife for them. When I knew who I was in Christ, and I stood my ground, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And on the Saturday night, before I was preaching, I said to the woman who invited me, I was staying with her and her husband and their children. And I wasn't as fat as I am now. I was fit then. I could get around and scoot a bit, you know. And this woman said to me, she said, "You want to go for a walk along the beach?" And while I was walking along the beaches with them, the Holy Spirit said to me, "You need to pray for this woman's girl. She's got a heart condition." And he said, "Right here on the beach, just on dark, just as the twilight was setting, the sun was setting," he said to me, "Tony, you need to lay hands on this girl and I'm going to pray for her." And I spoke to her mother and I said, "Does your girl have a heart condition?" She said, "Yes, she was so out of breath." And she said, "There's nothing they can do for her." Well, I said, "God's going to heal her." And he just asked me to pray for her. "Is that okay?" She said, "Well, do you want to wait till we're in church tomorrow? Do you want to wait till we get home?" I said, "No, I want to pray for you right here on the beach." And you know what? As I started to pray for him, lay hands on her, the Holy Spirit showed up, touched her, touched the girl. She went backwards. The mother went backwards. And then I do what I always do. I knelt down and I laid hands on the girl and I just kept praying. And you know, the devil's whispering in my ear, you know, saying, "You know, this doesn't look good. There's two white women on the ground and a black fella kneeling over them. You know, anybody coming past, you know, you're going to get arrested any minute." And, you know, I just kept praying because that's my job, to lay hands on the sick, believe God for a miracle, and just do what I do. I just pray in faith. And you know what? When they got up, this little girl said to my mum, she said, "You know, I just felt this heat go through me from the top of my head to the down to my feet," she said, "and I know that I'm healed." And to prove it, she started to run up and down the beach, but she couldn't run out of sight in a dark night because of this heart condition. She was always out of breath. She couldn't play sports at school. And she sat on the sidelines for a long time and never got actively involved because she physically couldn't do it. Anyway, we got home that night. And she said to her mum, "You know, I believe God's healed me after Tony prayed for me. Then I want to get rid of all this medication." And you know what she did? She flushed it all down the toilet. And there was no coming back because she'd flushed it all. And it was, you know, too late to go to an all-night chemist to get anything or a chemist to get anything. She'd flushed it. Anyway, then I went into my room and I was sound asleep. And then her mother came and woke me up. She said she's having trouble breathing and she just asked me to wake you up. She doesn't want to go to the hospital. She just wants you to pray for her. And I explained to her mum and dad, I said to her, "Look, sometimes when God heals us, you know, we got to know that the devil's going to come along, try and bring back the symptoms. And we just got to reject the symptoms, stand on the faith of God and just pray and believe." I prayed for that little girl and God completely healed her. You know, she was complete. She was fine. But see, when we went into that church the next day, you know, the minister said to me, he said, "Tony," he said, "when this service is over," there was four services that day. You know, this is the young fella that was fired up for God. He said to me, "Tony," he said, "you don't stand there on the side of me. You stand behind me. You'll get killed in the rush." He said, "They just come." He said, "They give their tithes out of their wealth. They wouldn't even miss it." He said, "And they live like the devil for the rest of the week. You know, they wouldn't know God if he bit them on the leg, you know." He said, they're just dead. And I said to him, you know, and we was talking out the front of the church and the microphones was turned on and I couldn't hear myself talking because I'm a bit deaf and I didn't have hearing aids at that time. And one of the ushers came up and she said, "Pastor," she said, "people can hear you talking." And we was just saying out, they was spiritually dead. And you know what, at that time, you know, God uses whatever you are. And I was at that time working in a morgue. And one thing I learned very quickly when you work in a morgue, when people die physically, rigor mortis sets in. quick as a flash, I said to this young preacher, I said, well, up there, in the real life, when people die, rigor mortis sets in. So when they die spiritually, I reckon they must have rigor mortis spirit over their lives. So rigor mortis sets in spiritually. Even though they're still alive, they're dead in Christ. They come to church every week. They do all the right things. They pay their money. They say praise God. They sing all the hymns. And yet they wouldn't know him. And I remember preaching up a storm that day. And I was standing with him at the end of the service. And an 84-year-old woman came out. And she said, you know, Pastor, she said, I thought I'd been saved. And I've been coming to this church for 80 years. And she said, and I realized today that if I die today when I go home, I'm going to hell. After 80 years of service to this church, you know, involved in the flowers, involved in the leadership of this church, I've just been coming here since I was 4 years old. You know, all my life, my married life, my children, my grandchildren have all come to this church. And I said, don't you go anywhere. I'm going to change that. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to lead you into the kingdom. And yes, I said, you just park your walking frame over there and let me deal with you. That whole weekend brought change, because the truth will set you free. You know, when you trust God and you hear the truth, it's got to set you free. You can't be bound up in religion, because, you know, God's word cuts like a two-edged sword. It can cut between the crap and the bull and set you free. So many people are bound up in churches. People these days treat God's house like a whorehouse. People are treating God's house like a club, like membership. You know, they got their name on the roll and they go there and they're not interested in seeing people come in and getting saved. They're only interested in their position. They're only interested in, and look at me, I'm a Pharisee. Actually, I also said that same day when I was preaching, I said, you know, you're like a whitewashed tomb. You're white on the outside, but filthy on the inside. You put on your church face. I was listening to Joyce Meyer the other day. She said she was chucking a tanty. And, you know, God said to her, Joyce, you don't have to be like this. You don't have to live like this. And she said, but you don't know them kids. They just drive me, they push me to the limits. And God said, if your pastor came to the door, you'd get over this tantrum real quick. You'd go and answer the door and you'd say, oh, Pastor, how great to see you. Praise the Lord. And, you know, you'd just been cursing and swearing and cussing 2 minutes before the doorbell rang. And we can stop. You see, that's the problem. We go to church every Sunday. And I've been in churches, charismatic churches, Anglican churches, Catholic churches. I've been in them all. You name it, I've been in them. Now, sometimes you can be in these churches and we put on our church face. I've even done it myself. There are times when I've been backslidden, I put on my church face. I go to church, I sit in the pews, I sing the hymns, I go through the motions. And that's all it is, motions. Just putting on your church face. Well, my wife expected me to go to church. My children expected me to go to church because I was a preacher. And yet, you know, my heart wasn't in it. Just go there every week and just sit there and do nothing. Just going through the motions. I've learnt and discovered that, you know, if you put your trust in God and build a relationship, there's so much more. There's so much more to going to church every Sunday and dating God for 2 hours on Sunday. Some people go to church and they can't even wait to get out of church. You know, they've done their bit. They can write it on the wall. When we had kids growing up, we used to write on the wall, you know, their height and measure as they grew. And we'd have a little thing. Well, they've been good this week. We'll give them a star. We'll give them a tick. God's not keeping count on how many times you go to church. God's not keeping count. And he's not sitting up there keeping count every time you raise your hand and say, praise the Lord. How silly we must feel to look to God when we're sitting there saying, praise the Lord, hugging our sister, give them a kiss and a cuddle, and as soon as they walk away, you stab them in the back and you start running them down. Did you know what she did last week? Did you know she had so-and-so over last week and he didn't leave till late? You know, people just start running each other down. You know, sometimes you get three or four women in a group and they're all too frightened to leave first because they know as soon as they walk away, someone's going to be running them down. You know, that's religion. That's bound up in all that garbage. If you really have a relationship with God, you're getting ready for God to come back for his church. It's so good because you can have a really good relationship with God. Don't treat God's house like a whorehouse. Don't treat it like a club. You want club membership, go join the RSL. You want a membership, go join Lions Club. But you want a relationship with God. It doesn't begin with the church you're attending. It begins with you. It begins with your heart. And you need to make that heart commitment.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. It ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the
choice whether to make that heart commitment to God. If you want a closer walk with God, you need to make that commitment. If you want to make that commitment today, you can ring Tony on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. And he'll talk you through it. The songs we heard on today's program were from Bruce Carroll and Hillsong. I'm Heidi, and I hope you can join Tony and me next week on King's Kids. Until then, thanks for listening. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.